This public radio podcast is supported by the Society for Human Resource Management, meeting the challenges of a changing world, online at shrm.org, and by KeyBank Capital Markets, specializing in corporate and investment banking solutions for established and growing mid-sized companies. Visit key.com/KBCM.
Desperate times, desperate measures.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Simply raising ticket prices just isn't going to cut it for the airlines. Oh, don't worry, they'll be doing plenty more of that. But this morning we have an indication of what else is coming because of fuel prices. United says it's going to fire another 1,500 people or so, some of them management, some of them contractors. And United will park about 100 planes. More now from Nancy Marshall Genzer.
United says it's going to ground its entire fleet of Boeing B-737s. Six Jumbo 747s will also have their wings clipped. With fewer planes to fly, United will be cutting routes. Airline consultant Daryl Jenkins says vacation spots like Hawaii and Vegas will be hit especially hard by the airline's cuts.
They're taking so much capacity out of the leisure destinations, which have been building hotels at record rates lately.
Jenkins says cut-rate leisure fares will disappear. So will United's low-cost unit, TED. Aviation analyst Richard Abulafia says that's a very smart move.
The classic joke, what is TED? TED is United without UNI.
Abulafia says the concept of having a low-cost unit within a traditional higher-cost carrier was never practical. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace.
The price of oil is coming down. It's at $123 and change this morning. That's $12 below the peak hit a couple weeks ago. One reason is that demand will almost have to fall off. In Malaysia, they're raising gas prices 40% starting tomorrow. In India, they're upping the price 11%. Plus, the dollar is rebounding, and that's also denting the price of oil. So far in the stock market, some minor gains on Wall Street. The Dow is up 30 points to 12,433. The NASDAQ has climbed 8, and the S&P 500 is up 2 in the early going. In Asia, stocks had mixed results today. Japan's Nikkei gained 1.5%, but other markets were down. In Europe, shares are decidedly lower, about 2% in London. With food prices the way they are, the dollar menu at McDonald's has become pretty enticing for some people. But for the people who run McDonald's franchises, that is not a welcome development. Dan Gretsch explains.
McDonald's best-selling sandwich isn't the Big Mac. It's the $1 double cheeseburger. The chain says it will stick with the dollar menu, even as cheese, buns, and beef become more expensive. McDonald's corporate is insulated from these price increases because they're absorbed by franchisees.
It's a real horrible tension for these people who are potentially losing money on the transaction.
That's Howard Morrill, an attorney that represents franchisees. The fast food chain spends tens of millions of dollars promoting its dollar menu. Franchisees can opt out, but
you've basically spent your marketing dollar promoting something you don't do. So it's kind of a catch-22. You may have higher margin business, but you're going to chase people away and make them angry.
Some New York stores have taken double cheeseburgers off the dollar menu, and McDonald's is testing the sandwich in Georgia and Mississippi at $1.09. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
Are your eyelashes long enough, thick enough, dark enough? If you answered no to any of these questions, then Allergan might have the drug for you. Today, the company said it's planning to seek FDA approval for an eyelash prescription drug. The company plans to start selling it next summer. This is the same firm that gave us Botox. You're listening to The Morning Report for Wednesday, June 4th on Marketplace.org. Today, a Senate committee will look at car roofs, specifically what happens to them in rollover crashes. Jeremy Hobson has more from Washington.
Right now, the federal standard requires car roofs to support 1.5 times the weight of a vehicle. The new standard could double that, but it's not near enough for some. Jackie Gillen is with the group Advocates for Highway and Auto Safety.
We already know that there are vehicles out on the road that have much stronger roofs than they're proposing. So why are they going ahead with a rule that is not going to do anything to really significantly address a major safety problem?
The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration is the agency that sets the standard, and Gillen and others say it's doing the bidding of the auto industry. Charles Torito at the Alliance for Automobile Manufacturers says his group supports strengthening car roofs, but he cautions against overregulation.
Roof deformation and injury and rollover crashes are related to the crash's severity, but that doesn't mean roof deformation causes injury.
Federal regulators say more than 10,000 Americans are killed each year in rollover crashes. In Washington, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
Wall Street certainly helped get us into this credit crunch, and many of the people who work on the street are paying the price. We've been talking to some of them lately. Today, one of the many brokers who don't have a job anymore. Amy Scott has his story.
In the basement of a Manhattan brownstone, Vincent Spato works the phone.
Yeah, hi, Greg. It's Vincent Spato from New York.
Until last fall, Spato worked in the mortgage-backed securities division of Credit Suisse. He lost his job when the subprime mortgage market imploded and the bank laid off hundreds of employees. A friend is letting Spato use a cubicle in this office space to look for work. He commutes into the city nearly every day to network and make calls. With 25 years' experience, he's scored interviews at most of the big banks.
You know, and people look at the background, look at your resume and say, gee, we really like the resume, but, you know, we're not hiring. But at the end of the day, we'd like you to come in. Would you be willing to come in and talk to us? And of course I do that because you never know what's going to happen.
It's getting tougher to support his wife and two daughters. Spato's severance pay ran out months ago. His unemployment benefits have expired.
You know, you cramp down and you buckle down so you don't go out to dinner as often or things like that, but you make do with what you have.
In the meantime, Spato is making do with the skills he learned at Credit Suisse to reach out to others hurt by the credit crunch. He's working with some colleagues from the mortgage industry on a new business. The idea is to help investors who lost money on mortgage-backed bonds. If some of the underlying loans didn't meet the terms of the bond, he says investors may be able to recover some money.
As the mortgage bubble began to get larger and larger, one could guess that maybe, you know, some eyes would turn the other way. And to the extent we can help them, that's what we're aiming to do.
The business is just one of the options Spato's exploring. He's doing some work for an appraisal firm. He and his wife have even considered starting some kind of franchise.
It's kind of an exciting time, you know, if you think about it. I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying pursuing different opportunities and talking to people. But, you know, the stresses associated with having to make the payments and pay the bills and all, that's real.
So if one of those banks comes back with a job offer, he could well end up right back where he started, on Wall Street. In New York, I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
Last night, the hardworking people of Madison Avenue got together for an awards ceremony. They were honoring the best TV commercials of the year. You hear all the time that TV ads are becoming obsolete, but honestly, those reports seem to be at least somewhat exaggerated. Ashley Milne-Tite has more.
Maybe you saw this ad the night of the Super Bowl. A guy comes into an office for an interview. He has a loud coffee stain on his shirt.
So tell me about yourself.
Well, you know, an organized person, somebody who does not leave details out.
The tagline is, silence the stain. That commercial won an award for humor. Matt Miller is president of the Association of Independent Commercial Producers. He says consumers aren't as jaded as some advertisers fear.
One of the things TiVo tells us is that if you show good ads, not only will people watch them, they'll go back and watch them again. People aren't against advertising, they're against bad advertising.
He says the 30-second spot is far from dead, and many have a second life on YouTube. And as people watch more video on devices like cell phones, Miller says advertisers should benefit, at least those who can craft a compelling ad. In New York, I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
As much bad economic news as I have to give out every morning, we are not in a recession, at least by one common definition. The economy grew at a rate of almost 1% last quarter. But commentator Will Wilkinson says, don't let that stop you from griping.
Come on. Will we ever get a recession? Sure, gas and food prices are inspiring new expeditions into couch cushions across the nation. But without a full-on recession, without a declaration that the economy's officially hosed, it seems like we have to accept that it's not that bad. With a real recession, we could blame somebody. President Bush, the Federal Reserve, the Democratic Congress, greedy investment bankers, take your pick. And the upside of pain is complaining about it. A bona fide recession is a license to let slip the dogs of kvetch. But the economy keeps stumbling along, like a drunk who never quite falls down. If it's going to be so lousy anyway, you almost want to say, just fall, damn it. Economic growth is neither constant nor predictable. It speeds up and it slows down, sometimes so much the economy starts to shrink, the dreaded recession. According to the standard definition, a recession is two consecutive quarters of contraction. But somewhat mysteriously to economists, fluctuations in the business cycle have moderated over the last 25 years, as if the economy went on lithium in the early 80s. Recessions are less common, downturns less severe, and that pattern seems to be holding, which is to say, it really isn't that bad. Unemployment is up to 5%, which used to be considered really, really low. The inflation rate, including energy and food, is up to almost 4%. But in 1981, the last time gas was anywhere near this expensive in real terms, inflation was over 11%. Despite everything, the American economy appears annoyingly resilient. But I say we complain anyway, recession or no recession. We didn't used to whine about spotty cell phone coverage, but now we do, and that's progress. When things keep getting better, it takes less to warrant complaint. So what if the economy's still pretty good? This is America. That's not good enough.
Will Wilkinson is a research fellow at the Cato Institute. You can find a link to his blog on our website, marketplace.org. Finally this morning, the perfect breakfast deal. J.M. Smucker said today it is making a bid for Folgers Coffee. If all goes as planned, Smucker will buy Folgers from Procter & Gamble for about $3 billion. Smucker says coffee and jam belong together. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.